Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am really excited for our guest today. We have Di Manuel, and Di is a digital thought leader and lifestyle mentor, empowering people to lead a functionally fit life. And I want to tell you that he spells functionally with a capital F, U, and N. Through education, encouragement, and community. Di models his work on the basis of five pillars: fitness, family, finances, and faith. With an overarching roof of fun built into a solid foundation of health. Di is also a dad, dating his wife, which I love. He always leads with that. Founding partner and former COO of Fitness Town Inc. Keynote speaker, award-winning blogger, CrossFit athlete, co-founder of the YVR Dads Support Group for Fathers, a BC Children's Hospital Grind for Kids ambassador, and published author of the Whole Life Fitness Manifesto book. He's a very busy guy. And on top of all of that, he's currently traveling with his family. So welcome to this episode, Di. I'm so excited that you're here with us today.
Thank you, Mia. I'm really honored to be on your podcast. This is great.
Oh, good. Cool. Well, it's funny because we actually haven't had very many guys. So it's good to have you on.
It's even more special. Yeah. I'm really honored.
So you're a busy guy. The list is long. So tell us, let's go back a little bit though, before we get into how you currently keep health sort of top of mind in your life. Have you always been healthy?
Well, I've been in and out of states of health, and you know, I don't come from sports. A lot of people that meet me for the first time or come across any of my platform online, they presume that I must be somebody that's been into fitness this entire life. And actually, as a later on, you know, from the age of 9 to 14, I was clinically diagnosed as morbidly obese. And for those that aren't aware, that means I had a BMI of over 40. Arguably, that was my, you know, my heaviest, obviously, but also that my state of unhealth was quite drastic. You know, asthmatic, I was borderline diabetic, and it was just based on lifestyle, completely lifestyle. And I didn't move much. I ate a lot of food that wasn't reinforcing a healthy habit. And on top of that, I repeated that every day. So you can imagine over 5 years, that compounding effect was pretty negative, and I got quite large. But at age 15, I made some lifestyle changes, and I haven't looked back ever since, really. But I've been in and out of states of health, at least how I define health, a number of times in my lifetime based on just life and lifestyle and what happens in my history. But I'm now 39, and I've been in the fitness industry over 20 years, coach, mentor, trainer, you know, pretty much every job within that world I've done at some point or another, but most recently as an author of a new book. So that's what I do. But I just like helping people move more and be happier. That's really it.
So for those of us who can't talk BMI, because I don't know that I totally understand that, so maybe you'll have to explain that later. So I've seen pictures of you at that time. So will you tell us, like, what does that mean in terms of, like, height and weight?
Yeah, so my body mass index, and it's sort of what, I argue that it's not the most accurate of readings, but it's what's generally used to gauge health in large populations, and no pun intended with the moniker large. But basically, my height to waist ratio was way off, plus my weight. I was, you know, just over 5 foot. I think I was 5'3", 5'4", when I was my heaviest. Probably closer to 5'6", actually. And, you know, when I hit 14, But my weight was over 230 pounds.
Okay.
And you know, at age 14, back then, childhood and obesity weren't typically found in the same sentence, you know? So the stigmas that are associated and a lot of the stereotypes or cliches that come with people that are in that state of unhealth weren't quite realized fully at that time.
Yep.
But I was living those difficulties, and it was tough. It was really tough. I was quite depressed and withdrew quite a bit, and realized that there was one or two options, and I didn't like the latter, which would have been to very final. And I decided to make some lifestyle changes, which was to simply educate myself and find a mentor to help me through it.
And you did that yourself at age 14. So, I mean, that's like what, freshman in high school, right?
So I was just about to go into high school. Yeah,
Yep.
it was
Well,
we sort of middle school, grade 7 and 8 before grade 9, and yeah, it was crazy.
that's amazing. Mom didn't even have to help.
Yeah, but my parents did encourage and they
Yeah.
support me wanting to make those changes, which is a big deal, you know. And as a parent today, it's really helped me with my own parenting style, is remembering how influential my parents were, but also how positive they were and really accepting of my wanting to change, you know, because
Yep.
had they not been supportive of that, it would be a very different story and a very different path I would have led.
And so getting into that parenting part, like from your perspective, what are the most important things that you're passing on to your girls? You have two girls, right?
Yes, I do. And my eldest just turned 13, so
Yeah.
I have a teenager now,
Ooh.
which is I'm still not quite used to saying that. It's but you know, my kids are great, and I give Christy full props on that. My wife, she's just an incredible mother and supporter, and we're partners and everything. So she is just an incredible leader and role model for her kids, and I think that's the biggest thing that we both share, is the fact that we are in positions of being role models for our
Yep.
children and for our communities. So we try to really ensure that we, everything that we're doing, we know there's a bit of a filter there, whether you see it or not, you have to remember it's there. And kids are sponges, you know, it doesn't
Yeah.
matter what age, and they mimic us. We are their first hero in life, you know, and I'd like to say that we stay their hero in life. But we have to remember our actions do get judged by them and they do get emulated.
Yep.
So are you know, that's pretty much it.
And what are those, like, in terms of like physical movement and that kind of stuff, like what are those things that you're trying to emulate with them? Like, so what are the parts of that that you think are the most
Sure.
important for kids these days to take on?
Yeah, we really try to establish with them very much how we deal with anybody else that we come in contact with, that we sort of welcome into our tribe, if you will, our community, is that foundation piece of health. And it should be fun. Okay, like that idea of an overarching roof of fun over your life. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not smiling every day or helping somebody else smile, well, it's just not as much fun, right? Like we all know how good we feel when we smile and we laugh and when we share that laughter with people that we care about. You know, it's just an amazing way to communicate and just share energy. And so we try to really share that with our own children too. But as long as they understand, if they build a life style on health to begin with, they're that much more apt to be able to do whatever they else they want in life. You know, from a career standpoint, from a sports standpoint, a family standpoint, faith, I mean, you name it. When your health is in check, it frees up a lot of energy and a lot of brain capacity, you know? Because we all know what happens when you fall out of health. All you can think about is, man, how do I get it back? And it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, very often a lot of resources. And it's unfortunate because it can really add a lot of strife to people's lives and the lives of those their families. So yeah.
So let's talk health a little bit. So I know, like, in my life, that has a lot to do with food. And what I find with my kids is that I've found a level of health that I am so comfortable with that I didn't find until 7 years ago. But what
Right.
I found, as I found sort of my ideal health, which was a combination of sort of food and exercise and sleep and sort of mindset and connecting to family and all those different things, especially with the food piece, I wasn't sure that my kids doing just what I did was gonna raise them to be healthy, if that makes any sense. So at the time, I had decided that the way I felt the best was to eat actually all raw vegan. And I just felt that was a weird thing to pass on to them. And I'm not, anyone who's raising their kids raw vegan, all the more power to you. But I just felt like I really needed my kids to understand all, like, have all the contrasts, and really be able to, in the end, make informed decisions, right? Because in the end, they're going to be on their own making decisions. So, I just talk a lot about food, and we do eat like largely fruits and vegetables, but I feed them animal protein with meals that, I just don't eat from time to time. And, I've just, we've figured out how to build it all in. But I get the sense that when they're out in the world, they're, making good choices and asking lots of questions, which is really all I want them to
I
do at
think,
the end of the
yeah,
day.
Mia, that's fantastic, and I've talked about this a lot, not only in my book, but also just in various articles and whatnot. And I think it's just the relationships we have with food and the foods that we eat, and that whole idea of diet. It's really just our way of sustaining life. And if they understand that, and you start to, I mean, when they were really young, we would have these conversations with their kids. Well, how do you feel now? It's a half an hour after dinner. How do you feel? 60 minutes later, 90 minutes later. And, if we go to a birthday party and they have pizza and then they have some pop and then they have cake, and it's like, well, how are you feeling now? Well, I feel great. Like, they are on top of the world. But our kids are really sensitive to it, where, 30, 40 minutes later, they have a fairly aggressive crash and they get moody and they get irritable. And it's very apparent that they've, the foods that they've eaten, previously within that last hour has affected their mood. And we want them to be mindful of that. And so you're right. The way that you said you ask questions, you create conversation, that is key. Just having a conversation around the foods and basic education around even macronutrients and how it works in our body and how do we nourish ourselves. Like, what happens when we eat food? What happens, to those molecules? And how does it affect blood sugar and hormones? And, I'm not saying go out there and get a degree in science or biology or nutrition, but there's some great resources out there that are online and that you can educate yourself on those basic functions. So you have a great ability to then communicate and articulate that to your kids and make them realize that, wow, this food that I'm eating is gonna, that's why I feel this way, It's why, it's that emotional connection, right? We can tell them the what and the hows all day long, but until they personally emotionally connect with the topic, it never really sticks, and we see that in school. My kids do not like math. They've got this thing with math, and I probably have not helped them with reinforcing it, because I was the same way. But when it comes to writing and creating, things from ideas, like, they're just prolific with that, and obviously they have a lot of fun when they do that. And the same can apply, and I think that's what's really unique about what you've done with your book and just how you talk to your kids and work with your family around nutrition. You make it fun. It's engaging. It's a conversation, but because it's fun, we want to do it more often, right? Because again, it's right back to that happiness factor. We like to do things that make us happy.
Well, and I think the important part of that is us as parents getting to that point where it makes us happy, because you mentioned like the preaching thing just doesn't work. And I find it's very easy to preach when we're not, when we're not in a place where we actually understand ourselves, and which is such an easy place to get into, because our world is a little bit stacked against us right now. And we've been led to believe that all these things are great for us and that doctors have the answer and all that kind of stuff. And so I think it's equally as important for us to get back to ourselves. So if we were to go, so taking that food thought onto exercise, so I have to admit, exercise is your expertise, not mine. So I'm a bit of a yoga head myself. I love it. But what I find with exercise is that it's my time. It's like it's a really important part of me, sort of like refueling myself so that then I can come back home and be a good mom and a good person in my job and all that kind of stuff and show up for my tribe. And so it's like really like a meditation time for me, running, yoga, whatever it is. And so I noticed that like a year ago, and I was, and I also was at a time when I think summer hit, and I had the kids a lot more than I usually have, so when they go off to school, I usually go off to exercise before I start my day.
For sure.
And so I remember last summer being sort of forced to figure it out with them around, which was really sort of an interesting exercise for me, because that wasn't nurturing to me before, So I found a hula hoop, and my kids love to jump rope. So it was just like, what can I do? Like with I could run while they biked, or I could bike with them. So what are your strategies for that? Like how to, I don't know. Personally, I'm not a big, my kids haven't done Little League and all that stuff, and not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but it just, to me, that was like that extra thing that would put me over the edge more so than them. So what are your strategies for including kids in exercise, or what do you even believe kids need to exercise, think about that, or is it just something that happens naturally? Like,
Well, I think we all have that desire to play, like
yeah.
again, right back to the fun aspect and the happiness aspect of even fitness. Just, and I always call it, movement with purpose. And it's getting out there, moving our body, engaging the muscles. Again, I think the best example is I take my kids to the park, and I'm like, yeah, we're gonna go hang out at the park. And it's never a fight. They like to go because it's usually other kids and they get to run around, they get to jump on the playground and get on the swing. And they're just all over the map, they're everywhere. Literally bouncing from one station to the next. And they'll do it for as long as I'm okay with staying at the park. And they're just playing. Like they're, I'm not, kids, we're going to the park because I'm gonna exercise you. We gotta go get our fitness in. It's playing. And somewhere along the line, I believe a lot of us lose the fun factor when it comes to our own physicality, our fitness. Fitness is really just an extension of health, and it's a way to reinforce health. When you have a lack of fitness in your life, that your health will typically suffer. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but years down the road, it will. I don't have to beat people up to prove that fact. They do it themselves quite well. just wait, and we'll, and so it's getting back to having fun and finding activities that we enjoy. You said you're a yoga head. Well, that's fantastic. It's great. Yoga is a fantastic form of fitness. I do have a lot of people I work with that love yoga, and I encourage them to continue doing it. But there's ways to also balance it out, because we all know if you do too much of one thing, it can still create imbalance in our lives. And it's very true when it comes to fitness as well, and so it's looking for ways that challenges you in many different aspects of fitness. And also, it just prepares you that much more for things in life, especially the unexpected. And again, this is all back to that foundational piece of health. Whatever you do to reinforce that foundation, it doesn't matter the storms that come and rocking on that house that you built for yourself. It's the foundation's solid, and you can weather the storms, and you can deal with the peaks and the valleys that are associated with life in general. And so that's sort of my idea on fitness. And I do a lot of stuff with the family. We hike a lot. We get out and we play, and we try to keep it in that sort of theme, because we know if it's playing with our kids, they're much more receptive and open. And it's not like, hey guys, we're going to go exercise from the park. No, they know what exercise means because they hear it from other adults, right? They're around, they hear their friends, parents talking, oh, I really got to work out this week. I got to, it's this whole idea of I have to
Have
do
to.
this. Well, no. Okay. You got to want to. Okay. And so it is, again, a lot of mindset. And I often joke with people. That's why I call myself a lifestyle mentor, not a personal trainer anymore, or anything along those lines, because it's that muscle between the ears that's the most undeveloped in most people. So it's what I got to spend more time on today than any other time in the past. I figured that out a long time ago. So,
And
yeah.
what are you doing when you're at the park with them? Are you sitting on the bench?
Sometimes I actually tend to do a lot of like squat therapy. So
Good.
I'll be over in the and doing a lot of mobility stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be on my phone, like catching
Yeah.
up on emails, because my kids know that's I'm a digital nomad, you know? Like
Yeah.
I'm as long as I got an internet connection, I can get some work done. And they're totally cool with that because they know, well, Dad's got to get a few hours of work in today, but I'd much rather be at the park with them doing my work than sitting at home in an office,
Totally.
or being at another office space and doing it. So they know that. And then it's like, and when I'm off my phone, guys, I'm off my phone. Let's go have some fun, you know?
Yep.
And so it's sort of that's part of our lifestyle. But yeah, no, I'm usually doing something or else I'm playing with them, you know. Like we have a couple of workouts, which they don't think are workouts, but they are.
Yep.
And it's basically like follow the leader, and we do a bunch of different types of animal movements throughout the park, and we'll play on the creative that they have there,
Cool.
and we'll do two or three rounds of it, take turns leading each other, and it's playing, but they don't realize it's like functional fitness to the max, you know.
Right.
And it's a great workout for me because they're much more mobile than I am.
Totally.
So it's trying to keep up with my 11-year-old especially. Holy smokes, that's a lot of exercise. So it's great.
I know. I actually got the artists as the two oldest. I have a theater one and a painter one, and now the third is definitely an athlete. So all of a sudden it's like, huh, all right.
Yeah, super cool. That's great.
Yeah. So for the mama out there who somehow has either never sort of taken care of her body, or especially after kids, not figured out how to find that time again. I know a lot of your strategies are meant to be like super quick and, not take your whole day and all that kind of stuff. So
Yeah.
where would you start? Like, so if you're just now, like, you're listening to this and you have kids and, you definitely are feeling that you need to get active again, but you're not sure how, what would you
Well,
recommend that person do?
yeah, there's typically three questions I try to invite people to ask themselves. You know, it's like, one, can I do it? You know, can I figure out a way to have some fun with improving my health? And bottom line is everyone's going to say, yes, I know there's got to be a way out there. Okay, well, good. So you've answered the first yes. And then second is, well, if you find something that you like to do and you do it often, will you get the health goals and benefits that you want? Because really that comes down to an educational piece, right? It's like figuring out what you like to do and then figuring out how to do it. No problem. People will always tell me, yes. And I'm like, great. Then what is holding you back from doing this? Is it you or is it not
Right.
you? You know, and then it's like, well, yeah, it is me. And it's that whole idea of going from I have to I want to, and I get to. Like, this is awesome. And for parents especially, you know, that's why the whole Life Fitness Manifesto sort of came to be. Because for a lot of years, I've been working with a lot of parents, especially as I became a dad. I wanted to remain an active dad. But I also was introduced to CrossFit back in 2007, which shifted my way, or I should say, my perspective on fitness and different ways of training people and coaching people. And so when I looked at all these sort of issues, you know, I've been writing online for a long time, connecting with lots of different people. And the biggest issues were I don't know what to do, I don't know how to do it, and I just don't have the time to do it. And I was like, okay, well, I keep hearing this over and over and over again. I was like, I'm going to deal with this once and for all. So I started launching free fitness challenges online and leveraging powers of communities to hold people accountable and to make new friends and to have fun with it.
Yep.
And the whole Life Fitness Manifesto is all about moving every day with purpose for 15 minutes, 5 minutes of mindfulness, 10 minutes of personal development. It's 2% of your 24 hours. Everyone's got 30 minutes a day. Okay, and I will argue till I'm blue in the face with people, but if they are so passionate that, you know, just basically to the point that they'll fight me on everything that I don't have 30 minutes, well, quite frankly, then just accept who you are and be okay with it. Quit telling me that you need to make some changes and then fight me tooth and nail because you really don't want to embark on any changes. I think you're just like talking about the idea. You know,
Yep.
you're just, it's become a conversation point in this pity party. And I am not one to go in for those things. And that's where my wife is a great balance for me because I'll often knock people on the mat. She'll pick them up and pat them off, you know? And so we work as a good team that way, but it's just helping people realize that there are options. And the program is such that every 28 days we do another phase and people get free education. I provide the training for free. I provide the community for free. There's really no excuse. If dollars doesn't matter about how much money you make or how much you have to spend. Listen, it's free. I don't want people to use dollars as a reason why they can't get healthy.
Right.
And so that's the thing, you know,
okay,
finding
so
30 minutes a day. That's it. That's what people have to start with. Adults, parents, whoever you are, carve out 30 minutes a day, make a commitment to you first and foremost, and keep that commitment.
Yep. And tell me one more time that breakdown of the 30 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes of movement with purpose. So I provide the workouts. They're body weight based, so you don't need any equipment. If you got enough room to throw a towel down or a yoga mat down in the middle of your living room, somewhere in your home or outside, you've got enough space to do this workout. Mm-hmm. And they're AMRAP styles, which means as many reps or as many rounds as possible in 15 minutes. So you're moving for 15 minutes solid.
Got it.
And the workouts are such that they're very scalable, so it doesn't matter what level of health or fitness you're in, you can still do the workout. I provide scaled movements for those that have mobility issues and sub-movements. So if you can't do a certain movement, well, there's an alternative you can do. Then you have 5 minutes of meditation or mindfulness,
yep,
followed by 10 minutes of personal development. So it's a body, mind, and spirit program.
Yep.
Basically teaching people how to leverage 30 minutes to optimize health and happiness. That's how I boil it down to. And if you've got 30 minutes, it's a great gateway program. And I call it a gateway program because I've seen so many people that have been in the community now. I just had a few people do the first half marathon yesterday here in Vancouver.
Wow.
Vancouver. So these are people that have never run in their life. Yeah, they started going through the program a year and a half ago. They've established a certain level of health and fitness, and they wanted more. They realized, man, I really do like running. I want to do more of it. And so I've seen a lot of people start doing mud runs and challenging themselves in new sports or picking up new sports or taking up skiing for the first time. Because kids, once you have confidence in your personal ability and your ability to just move, it opens up a whole world of opportunities. And it
yep.
sounds cliche, but it is so true. But it's things that we forget as we age because we're not kids anymore having fun on the playground.
Right.
We're out in the real world, carving out a 9-to-5, trying to make an income so we can afford the things to support a family. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we forget that our health and our fitness is so crucial in how much fun we have doing those other things in life.
And can you give an example of that, what you mean by movement? Did you call it with purpose? Like what is an example of like what that looks like?
Sure. Well, one of my favorite workouts, and it's one that it's funny, I get asked, I do a lot of stuff on like morning TV, you know, and or radio and stuff like that, because they know I've got all these quick little hit workouts that work great, especially when you're traveling. Because I hear this from a lot of people. So I'm going traveling, I'm not going to have any gear, I just blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, meh. Here we go. Here's a chair workout you can do. And literally, if you have a chair, I will give people this workout where you do 10 chair push-ups, 10 chair step-ups, 10 chair squats, followed by 10 chair dips. And that would be one round. And then you would just repeat that sequence as many times as you can in 15 minutes.
Got it.
Okay. So it's a full body hit. All you need is a simple chair or a stool or a step or a bench, whatever. You could be out in the park. I see a lot of people do this one in the park. You know, they got a park bench there. You can do it. And even those that are runners, it's great. You could easily time it so maybe every third or fourth park bench you're passing on your daily run, you do one round of that at the bench. And this is my way of incorporating strength and conditioning for those that are runners, because they do require some conditioning. That's the biggest thing that they're lacking. It's great, cardiovascularly, and they're built to run. But when you start to look at some of the functional movements that they do in life, like just carrying their groceries from their car up the stairs and putting it away in the cupboard, they struggle because they're lacking that strength.
And so in your opinion, so this 15 minutes really is different than going on a 15-minute run or a 15-minute walk or whatever one might be finding the time to do right now. So what's the balance of that kind of aerobic exercise and this kind of strength training exercise in life?
I call it functional fitness, and functional meaning that I'm trying to emulate real life movement patterns.
Okay.
So even a squat, you'll see that I talk about squats and lunges, and I have every once in a while people say to me, "Hey, you know, I hear squats are bad for your knees." I'm like, "Well, one, where did you hear that?" And then two, what type of squat are we talking here? Are they the squats where you are going down on the balls of your feet and your knees are jutted out forward and internally rotated? And yeah, I can really break down the mechanics of a squat, and I'm like, "Well, that's an improper squat. You do that over and over and over again. It's like a piston in a car that's askew. Eventually, you're going to create a lot of wear and tear, and it's going to burn it out. Well, let's teach you how to do a proper squat, and then we won't worry about speed. We'll worry about technique and control, and as you reinforce that movement. Now, how often in a day do you find yourself going into a squat position and standing up again? People do it all day long,
Yeah,
okay?
right? To get
Many,
like the
many times. So you tell me right now, when you're 80 years old, if you don't have the ability to squat unassisted, what's your quality of life going to be like?
right, you can't put anything in the bottom cupboards in your kitchen. Right? You have to have everything on the counter.
Really? Like that's what it boils down to. There's certain movements, and I even look at my parents, you know, like my mom's just had a knee replacement. She's in her 70s, and I'll tell you, based on certain lifestyle choices that she's had, it led her to a certain state of unhealth, and her body broke down. And she's gone on a couple trips where she's not been able to get off the tour bus because her mobility was so poor. Now she's dealing with it now, but you know, I often have that conversation. She's like, "I really wish I had, you know, taken better care of myself when I was back in my 50s." Because she knows the choices that she's made over the last 20 years has brought her to where she is today. And so you have to ask yourself, well, you know, we're all just so much about today. We forget that there's a big tomorrow. And those choices we make today are going to affect those tomorrows and that quality of life. So, you know, do things that are going to work into that lifestyle that you already envision yourself having. Maybe you're taking early retirement at 50 years old and you're going traveling with your family. Fantastic. How do you have to be able to show up to do that? You know, from a physicality standpoint, from a health standpoint, you know, you got to deal with it.
All right, so I actually in a minute I want you to tell everybody how they can find this training because it sounds amazing. I want to do it. But first I had one more question on this, which is so that's your first step. And so then you're doing all these things, you're getting, stronger. So one of the things that struck me as I was watching a few of your videos was handstands and like pull-ups and what is that part of doing something that feels so out of your reach right now? Is that little steps that lead there? Is there a mindset part behind that? Like what enables one to sort of cross bridges physically that feel like way above your head?
Well, one of the mottos or mantras, I guess you'll see in the CrossFit community, is getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. And to get right down to it, they also have funny t-shirts that are like, "Embrace the suck," you know? And it's that idea of challenging ourselves that I love. You know, it might not be the language that I would have typically used because I think it alienates a lot of people because it's a bit too edgy, but the idea behind it is amazing. And just the idea of getting ourselves comfortable with experiencing new things and that sense of fear, because it is fear. Like, you know, can I do it? Will I be able to do it? Am I going to look funny? Are people going to judge me when I'm doing this or I'm failing at doing it? And failing, okay. We all got to fail somewhere. And it's all right. We got to learn from those failures and then we get better. And that's what practice comes into it. And I'm all about practicing for life every day, you know? So I make mistakes all the time. My kids remind me of it, you know? So it's all good. As long as you learn from those mistakes and move on. But the idea like of handstands, like when I started CrossFit, I thought I was really in shape. I was a guy that had already been in the fitness industry for over 10 years, you know, training and coaching and working with people and going to the gym, doing spin classes, hiking. I thought I was quite fit.
And I went for my first day, and then they put me through this baseline fitness testing, and I got spanked. I tell people this. I'm like, it just rocked my world. I had no idea. It really shifted my perspective on physical fitness and just the way to move the body differently. And so it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And I realized, okay, well, I can take what I've already learned, and now I can take what I'm learning and experiencing this new sport or fitness modality, however you want to coin it. And I think I can create something that can also help a lot more people. And it's because CrossFit's, it is. I always applaud people that show up to CrossFit gyms for the first time after they've Googled CrossFit. Because you Google it. I mean, it's like Googling Mother Teresa. You'll find lots of positive about her, but you'll also find lots of websites that talk negative about her. So it's trying to figure out, well, what is what? What is true? What is not true? And then also you look at all these videos and you see some crazy stuff. And if you show up to that gym for the first time, ooh, kudos to you, because it's pretty intimidating. But it shouldn't be. However, it's just perception, right? And I think that applies to everything. So like you said, you're a yoga head. Well, I've seen people start in yoga with very, very limited mobility and strength and core conditioning. And so they were challenged, like really, really challenged to do it. Yet they went back, and then they went back again, and then they went back again. And then eventually they got to a point where now they're doing like 3-point headstands, right? Like where, had you asked them on day one, hey, do you want to try this? They would have said, no way. I'll be embarrassed. I can't do that. So it's all about scalability and working through a process. And it's just like becoming a doctor, like you don't show up day one of school and say, okay, send in your first patient. Trial and error here. It's you go through a process. You build on a certain ability and you constantly build on it. And so just go with that. Don't be intimidated and don't think and compare yourself to others. That's the biggest thing, I think. And that's where if you find a really good community to plug into, you'll be the choices that you're presented to make are always going to be supported by a community that's there saying, hey, go for it, try it, do it. We're here.
That's funny because I was thinking of so in yoga, there's a pose called crow, which basically, you're on your wrists. You're not in a handstand because your legs aren't up, but your knees are resting. So you're pretty much upside down. And I remember, being in yoga for a while and sort of always watching that pose, and squatting actually during the time of that. And then I remember one time a teacher saying that, just try it. And I don't know that I was any more fit than I was any of the other days, you know what I mean? But just that permission to try and like let go of the outcome and like it's only like whatever, I could have fallen on my nose, I guess, but really like, you can get back on your feet and then the power of being able to do that. And it's cool. It's like, it is a little step by step, but I found a lot of it was in my head.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's just trying, right? And that's the biggest thing. I look at our kids, like the way we talk to our kids is the way we need to talk to ourselves.
Totally. Just
You know, like
try
it
it.
really, well, no, but it's still true. Like when talking to a kid that's experiencing things for the first time, you want to encourage them to experience them. So that way they can at least make up their own mind if it's something that they enjoy doing or not enjoy doing, and we know sometimes they have to do it a few times to really know. And yeah, I'm the same with my girls are like, you mentioned your two kids, so one being in theater and then the other one being in art. And my girls are the same, but they're very different. One's very sporty, the other one is more artistic. And yeah, so the way we work and talk to each of them is very different.
Different,
And
totally.
that's how we are as people. We're all different. That's okay. And you got to try lots of new things to find what we love.
I'm on a try new thing mission right now myself, and actually one of the most recent fitness thing I tried was surfboard exercise. Have you
Ooh.
tried that? Oh my God. Talk
I
about like
yeah, it's wild, huh?
I've never surfed, so probably that might have
Yeah.
helped. But basically you're like, you're really wobbly, so it's
Yeah.
interesting, an interesting perception.
That is
So
super cool.
one of my favorite things that you've said all day is that idea of I get to. And so I'm hoping everyone really takes that home. Like that's one of the most powerful things actually I think we teach about food. here too at Plan Simple Meals. Like the idea that you don't have to pack lunch for your kids, you get to pack lunch for your kids. Or I don't
Yes.
have to go on a run, I get to go on a run because that means that, I'm going to have more energy later, or I'm going to, have a clearer mind, or I'm going to live longer, or whatever it is. There's
Yeah.
always a, so I love that idea of I get to. So if everyone just takes one thing from this, like take that. You get to do all these things. How privileged
Yeah.
we are.
We are, it's amazing.
So tell us how to find you, and then I'm going to ask you the final question that I ask everybody.
Oh, okay. I'm really easy to find. I think it's the one when I was young, I used to wonder about my name. I was like, what are my parents trying to do here? This is the weirdest name ever. IDAI is Welsh for David, so it actually means David, and
Okay.
then Manuel is Portuguese, and so I've got Welsh Portuguese in my family, and it's just a very different name. But when Google came around, I realized, wow, I've hit pay dirt, because if you
Nobody
know how to
has your
spell my,
name.
well, no one has it, so it was completely unencumbered. But also, if you know how to spell it and you hear it once, you typically don't forget it because it's just so different. So if people want to connect with me, simply type my name into Google and you can connect with me on every social channel out there. And if you're on Snapchat, I'm on Snapchat too. It's just my name, Dime Manuel. And same with Twitter and Instagram and pretty much every platform out there, I've got my name. And then my main site is dimemanuel.com. And that's where I have lots of articles that convey this sort of theme that we've been talking about so far, and it's just having a functionally fit life and learning to leverage time to optimize health and happiness. And I talk about that a lot on my site. So
And
that's the main ways to get a hold of me.
where, well, actually, I'm just going to spell that for everyone. So it's UEL.
Yes.
DAIMANUEL. And it will be in the show notes too. And what, where is that? Where is your tent? Where is your actual fitness program that you start every 30 days? Where
Yeah,
does one find that?
so there's links right from my site for
Okay.
that, or you can go to wholelifefitness.manifesto.com.
Okay,
So
cool.
that's the easiest way, or you just go to my site and you'll find it.
You'll
And
find the link.
we're into week two of a 28-day cycle right now, so the next one will be starting in beginning of June.
Cool.
So people can opt in now, and I give them some tools and some resources that they can plug into right away. So it's not a matter of, you want to start now, but you don't want to wait a month. Don't worry, there's the ability to do it. It's just the actual participation in that phase won't be opened again until the next registration period. So,
Cool. Love
yeah.
that. All right, so the final question that I ask everyone is that I find that meals have a very powerful, we have very powerful memories around meals. So tell us, just to get to know you a little bit better, what is a meal that sticks out in your mind, either because of the food or the company or a major aha you had while at the table? And it could be something that literally happened last week or a childhood memory that you just will never forget.
Well, you know what? My wife and I, Christy, I remember when we first moved in together, and we used to have a lot of chicken, broccoli, and rice.
That's funny. That's what I
Like,
grew up on.
it was like the go-to. And it's funny because, as we got into sort of paleo type of diets or primal diets, and reason being is we were trying to avoid foods that cause inflammation. Autoimmune disease runs rampant in my family. My eldest daughter's got juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. I have an autoimmune disease as well. So avoiding foods that cause inflammations become very important to us over the last 5 years. And based on that, we started to change some of our things. But still, every once in a while, we'll have like chicken, broccoli, and quinoa, or chicken, broccoli, and rice come up. And I'm like, it just brings me back to those warm feelings of it's that idea that that's where we started, at our life together. When this was one of the meals that we would share together often. And I remember sometimes I would nudge her a bit, but more so like, oh man, again. But really deep down, I always loved it. I loved it because I'm that guy that's really simple, and I eat to sustain my life. I don't sustain my life to eat. And so it was just a simple meal, but it's got those warm feelings that just get brought up every time I think about it, and every time that we have it. And we don't have it that often anymore, but when it does come up, it's like man, you remember? And it's just we're brought back, right? So yeah,
I
definitely
love
that would be the go-to meal that brings back a lot of warm and fuzzies.
Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. I love that. And I don't think we can have too much broccoli. So
no.
That part's really good, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I've subbed in beef now, but I have a lot more beef in my diet just
yeah.
based on my blood and stuff. But anyways, that's me. But no, this has been a lot of fun, Mia. Thank you.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And I hope lots of people go connect on. I think I'm going to actually do the gym thing. So I'll be there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And this will be live right then. So everybody can sign up. So thanks so much, and we look forward to hearing about your adventures with your family. So everyone will hopefully tune in to one of your channels or a few. And thanks
awesome.
For being
Thank
here.
You. Thank you, Mia.
All right. So busy mamas, I will see you on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliments you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.